All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd be with us now as we study the scriptures and begin to look at this chapter from Knowing God. We pray that you'd give us wisdom and grace and understanding. Please forgive our sins. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to start out by reading a passage that he mentions in this chapter. This is Galatians chapter 4, the first 7 verses. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. So we're talking in chapter 19. The chapter is titled Sons of God. And we're talking about the fact that we as Christians call God Father. And that he makes an interesting point in this chapter about how revolutionary that idea actually is. But in order to get there, when we think about this, and this is something in our culture, everybody talks about God and talks about the Father. So there was a time in history when that was not true. Okay, at the beginning of the New Testament era, that was simply something that was not normally done. And the reason it was not normally done is because the Jews in particular knew God by his covenant name of Jehovah. And there were lots of things that are said in the Old Testament, but Father was not normally a way in which God was addressed in the Old Testament. It's not until you come to Jesus that Jesus begins to address God as his Father and talk to us about addressing God as our Father. Which raises the question, is God the Father of all men? That's one of the questions in the book. No. Okay. So elaborate on that. Why not?
Because he's declared who his children are.
Okay.
He's the creator of all men.
He is the creator of all men. All men and women everywhere on the face of the earth are are creatures.
Yeah.
All folks are made in the image of God, but there is a particular use that God uses when he calls his people, his sons and his daughters. And so not all men are children of God in that sense. So how do you become a child of God?
God takes you from here and puts you in his family.
Okay. All right. So it has to do with God's grace. It has to do with election. It has to do with salvation. Becoming a child of God has to do primarily with
adoption,
okay, which is what we're talking about. We're talking about adoption into the family of God. Okay, so what phrase does Packer use to sum up the whole of the New Testament teaching and the whole of New Testament religion?
I'm reading.
Yeah, you're reading, okay.
I know where it is.
All right.
The whole New Testament religion, if you describe it as the knowledge of God as one's holy father.
Okay.
Okay, everything that is distinctly Christian as opposed to merely Jewish is summed up in the knowledge of the fatherhood of God. The Father is the Christian name for God.
Okay. All right. That's the point that he's making. All right. And yeah, we're revolving around this. So, whereas in the Old Testament, God's name was Jehovah. That's I am who I am from Exodus, where God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush. And there are lots of attributes of God that are explained in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. Jesus addresses God as his Father, and Packer makes the point that this is unique. This is something that in one sense, because in the Old Testament, the covenant name of God was Jehovah. Packer makes the astounding comment that in the New Testament, the covenant name of God is Father. Okay. Which is something that we normally don't think about. And yet he makes a good case for it here. Though Yahweh was his covenant name, it spoke to Israel of what their God was in himself rather than of what he would be in relation to them. And so he says there's something like a regal reserve about that name. And that the name Jehovah in the Old Testament would evoke feelings of awe and humility because it's a mystery. But in the New Testament, you've got him being mentioned by Jesus as being Father. And he says, Father has now become his covenant name. For the covenant which binds him to his people now stands revealed as a family covenant. Christians are his children. And then he says, you know, that we're children by adoption. We're children because God adopts us into his family. The revelation to the believer that God is the Father is, in a sense, the climax of the Bible. How does God's revelation of himself in the Old Testament compare with the New Testament revelation? I gave it away. You can add to it, though.
Yeah. Well, in the Old Testament, he was just, I am the great, omnipotent, I am. In the New Testament, he's the Father. We're a family.
Okay, think about Moses as seeing the burning bush. What was it that God told Moses as he came? Take off your shoes. Why?
Because you're on holy ground.
Okay, because you're on holy ground. And so throughout the Old Testament, when you see Jehovah in the Old Testament, he is so holy that sinners cannot approach him. And therefore, there has to be there's always a distance. So Moses is told, take off your shoes before he comes to the burning bush. When the Israelites come to Mount Sinai, God warns the Israelites, don't let anyone touch the mountain. If anyone touches the mountain, he'll die, because God is revealed. When they built the tabernacle and later on the temple, there's a curtain separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies, and nobody could go into the Holy of Holies except the high priest. He could only go once a year on the Day of Atonement. He could only go after he'd offered a sacrifice for his sins as well as the sins of the people. So God regulated the way he could approach, he could be approached in the Old Testament. And so there's always this holiness, this reverence, this awe, and there's this distance because men are sinners and God is holy. When you come to the New Testament, it's the same thing is true. God is still holy. And yet now, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a family approach. We're exhorted in the New Testament to come with boldness. And how can we come with boldness before a holy God? Through Christ. Okay, that's the only way that we can come. The only way that sinners can come before a holy God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come because Christ has shed his blood for us, because Christ has provided us with his righteousness. And so we can only come before God because we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus and cleansed by his blood. But when we come, we don't need to come hesitantly. We come boldly. Hebrews exhorts us to approach the throne of grace with boldness. So, and we only do that because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. So those are two of the things that we can see about the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament and the covenant name of God. Sometimes people raise the question, I appreciate the fact that Packer deals with it in this book. There are folks who grew up in a household where their understanding of a father was negatively impacted by the father that they had or didn't have. Right? So that there are some people that grew up, didn't have a father, grew up in a household with a single mother, or grew up in a household where the father was a drunk and abusive, and the only contact they had with this man was when he beat them. Or other things, even a good father who failed in some way. So there are lots of folks who say that they can't understand the fatherhood of God because they didn't have a good father. They don't understand what that means. How does Packer address that issue? What's he say about that?
You still know what a good father is, even if he didn't have one.
Okay. And how do we know that?
I know. Because of God.
Because it's revealed to us in Scripture. Basically what we look at, remember Jesus as he's about to go to the cross in John chapter 14. He is telling them, his disciples, he's about to go away. And Philip makes this wonderful statement, just show us the Father and it will be sufficient.
Yeah.
And remember Jesus' response.
No, you know the Father.
That's right. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So we know what a good and a godly father is like by looking at what Jesus is like in the pages of Scripture. We can see who the Father is, what the Father's like. Even if we never had a good example of a father, we can look at the Bible and see what a good example of the Father is because we look at Jesus. And so that's really basically Packer's answer, that as long as we know Christ, as long as we can see Christ in the pages of Scripture, then we know what it is to know a good and a godly father. Okay. How has God made the meaning of his fatherhood clear? What are the four essential elements of God's fatherhood? This is...
That's page 205.
That's page 205, but I've got a different book, so I don't know what page I'm on.
In our book.
Okay.
Page 205, and it says 1, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th.
There you go. It's okay.
Next week I'm reading the book.
Yeah. It's this particular, well, we're not going to get through all this chapter. We're really only go just a little bit further, to tell you the truth, tonight, because it's a long chapter. It deals with lots of stuff. Okay, so what's he say here?
Your turn.
There's implied authority.
Okay. What's that mean?
I just came not to do my will, but my Father's will. My Father sent me. I only do what he tells me to do.
Okay. So God the Father had the authority to command Jesus as his incarnate Son to obey him. And so Jesus as the God-man sets the example of obedience, but he shows us also what it's like to obey, and the fact that his Father has the authority to command him to do this. And he delighted in it. Remember? He delighted in doing God's will.
Okay. I have authority somewhere. I'm just missing the front cover of the Bible. Okay.
Okay. Second.
Affection.
All right. What's he mean by that?
That the Father loves the Son, and he loves his children.
Okay. So all these things, Packer's going to make the point that all of these things that apply to Jesus apply to us also as his adopted children. Yeah.
I haven't even finished it yet.
I've got it on watch.
I get a lot more from this.
Listening.
All right. That's fine. So he just basically says that he loved, that the Father loves the Son, and we know that because we are in Christ, we are also loved by him. Okay. Third thing.
Fellowship.
Okay, Kathy, what's that mean?
You're never alone.
Okay.
The Father's always with you in Christ.
Yes. Okay. All right, and the last one.
Honor.
Okay.
You explain that one, Pat. Fourth, honor.
About honor.
Yours. What
honor?
Is that?
Honor? He's ignoring it completely.
Well, God honors the Son, so we can assume he honors us too.
Okay. All right. Now we're leading into the next thing, which is what he's getting at right here. He says all this extends to God's adopted children. Okay, and he basically says that all of these things that we just said about God and his relationship to Jesus, we can say about God and his relationship to us because we're in Jesus. We're adopted children in the Lord Jesus.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump the gun there.
No, that's fine. No, you didn't jump. Actually, that's perfect. I mean, it fits right in with what we're getting at here. Okay, so he says, because God loved his only begotten son, Jesus, therefore he also loves his adopted sons and daughters. He loves us in the same way. And so we've got the love of God extended to us. We've got the fellowship that he has with Jesus, he has with us. Somebody got a Bible. 1 John 1:3. Somebody read 1 John 1:3 to us, please.
Okay, go ahead.
We proclaim to you that we ourselves have actually seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ.
No, that's fine. The point was that our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. So we have fellowship with Him. And so this is the thing that we're talking about. We talked about God having fellowship with His Son. He has fellowship with us in and through His Son as well. And also, most of these things are from John or 1 John. Since God exalted the Lord Jesus, God ordains to exalt us also as members of his family. Gospel according to John chapter 12, verse 32.
John 12, 32.
When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself.
Okay. All right. And that's not right. That's not right because he had that down as the... He's got the wrong quote in my Bible. In my book. What's your book say? Right before the quotation from the Westminster Confession of Faith.
12:26. 12:26.
Ah.
17:24.
Okay, that's what it is. 12:26 is what we're looking for. We found a mistake in the older version. All right.
The word serves me, let him follow me.
Yes.
Yep, that's it.
If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him, my Father will honor.
Okay, all right. So we're told...
Ours, right? That's right, yours is wrong.
Mine's the old one, it's wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. I found a couple of mistakes in it that they apparently corrected when they put out the new edition.
We found one that in the new one, too, though.
Yes, okay. Yes, there are a couple of them like that, that they didn't catch.
I'll make another roll.
Okay. All right, so... God has ordained that he will honor those who serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're going to, I guess, close this evening, really. Let's see, where are we? Pardon me?
That was number five.
That was number five, and that's really, number five is where I wanted to get to. Believe it or not, number five only takes us down through the first part of this. And then he's got five more questions that take up the other 18 pages of this chapter, which is really strange. So it's front-loaded pretty heavily. I appreciate the fact, when you consider that Packer's not Presbyterian, he's Anglican, I appreciate the fact that he... quotes from the Westminster Confession of Faith here, chapter 12, on adoption. All those that are justified, God vouchsafeth in and for his only son, Jesus Christ. Vouchsafeth is an old word for God makes the promise. To make partakers of the grace of adoption, by which they're taken into the number and enjoy the liberties and privileges of the children of God. Have his name put upon them, receive the spirit of adoption, have access to the throne of grace with boldness, are enabled to cry, Abba, Father, are pitied, protected, provided for, and chastened by him as a father, yet never cast off, but sealed to the day of redemption, and inherit the promises as heirs of everlasting salvation. So he's got a... that is one of the most succinct, that chapter in the confession, all of you have a copy of the confession from a long time ago, that chapter on adoption is really good. And here they gave a lot of thought to explaining what this happens to me. So next time, we're going to talk about the nature of the divine sonship that is bestowed upon us. So we are called children of God, and so we'll pick it up.
Yes,
you're on page what, 205? Is that where you are?
That's
at the 206. Okay.
That's good.
All right, we'll pick it up from that point, and we'll look at another section next time. Okay. Anybody have any questions or comments about where we are so far? Yes, ma'am. You can get it on Amazon. You might be able to find it at Books A Million, but I'm not sure. We are totally out of extra copies at the church right now. We've given them all away, so you'll have to see if you can.
We have to rotate between me and her.
Yeah, but you can get it. You can order it from Amazon. It's been out for. The copy I've got is from the 1970s when it first came out. It was republished in 1990-something or other, I think. What's the date on your book? 93? Okay. And so it's the 50th. They just went through the 50th anniversary of this book. So it's been around for a while.
1587, Google Books.
All right.
About Amazon.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
That's why I
order a couple.
They got another one by David Wilkes.
This is different.
Yeah, this is what we're looking for. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the things we've had a chance to talk about tonight regarding our being adopted as sons and daughters of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you'd bless us as we meditate on this over the week. And that as we study this once again next week, that you give us further insight. Please forgive our sins. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.